Some of them I shall take as priests and as Levites, says Jehovah. I just noticed a typographical error for the first time in verse 21, of which I'll make a careful note after this. That should be edited immediately. That's from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21. Some of them I shall take as priests and as Levites, says Jehovah. From the Word Green version of 2003, a translation of the Word of God, the book which is also the most sold book, the best-selling book of all time. The Bible, it's also called the Holy Bible. And resuming our study in chapter 8 of the article, The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express, by yours truly, in chapter 8, paragraph 4. Well, first we have the Karakesh River in the western Kunlun Mountains. What a magnificent photograph that is. We can just resize. There it is. Just a beautiful, a very barren landscape, but stark beauty with the rocky outcroppings, the hills, the mountains, whatever you want to call these, and the scrub brush there, the very low vegetation there alongside this river, which is quite a shallow river, it appears also, but just beautiful blue sky and just billowy white clouds, the blueness of the river and the sandy colored sand and rock, as well as some darker rock there, and the green vegetation, very dark, dull color, and also the pebbles or the rocky terrain in and around the river, all being beautifully captured there in that photograph from Wikipedia, Kunlun Mountains. So that's what that terrain looks like around the Karakesh River, the western Kunlun Mountains. The Hurriyet Daily I wrote on this particular day in 2010, or 11 rather. Let's see, where did I... I just woke up, but I'm aware of the time being pressing here. It's 2011, March 25th, evidently, because the next day was the 26th, and at 15:01 hours, I wrote Hurriyet Daily News reports a Myanmar earthquake of magnitude 7 this Friday, and it comes only 2 weeks after a huge quake in Japan took a total toll of about 27,000 dead or missing. Myanmar having gotten hit on Thursday night with the first shock that reached to China. War and earthquakes are prophesied in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, to be a part of a composite sign to be understood by Christians. Who really is the faithful and discreet slave? Jesus asks. 2011, March 26th, 08:31 hours. I was up, I wrote, at 04:19 hours. And it now looks like a gorgeous day, one with an absolutely brilliant sky. 10:18 hours. I finished hauling the firewood. It is cold out. 11:15 hours. 11:15 hours, research into Heber's son, Joktan. And this part is remarkable because I don't remember any of this. All of my theorizing, it seems to me, about the sons of Heber, the sons of Heber, and the idea that they went to China, that always seemed very vague in my mind, as though there was no evidence of it. So I don't remember this part of my research, but I must have been thrilled, absolutely thrilled at this time. But for some reason, I don't remember it. I must have been at least mildly gratified to discover there was evidence for this that proved that Heber's family did go to China, because research I wrote at 11:15 hours, March 26, 2011 of the Common Era. I wrote this. Research into Heber's son Joktan indicates that at least one Chinese clan. My throat. There's a little bit of tickle. You know, it's the allergies are not gone yet. But I slept last night without any HEPA filter running in the bedroom, so I know there's no pollen, but there might still be some. This morning, I when I came out here, I seemed to have a lot of allergic, but maybe it wasn't allergic, just a morning type nasal activity, like runny nose. But I said, anyway, research into Heber's son, Joktan, I wrote, 11:15 hours, 2011, March 26th, indicates that at least one Chinese clan claims descendancy from Joktan's son, Jobab. Isn't that phenomenal? And while Joktan goes as far as Sephar in the Bible, which we said was the mountain of the east, and also indicated as far as the very east coast of China, Joktan's sons are assigned by some merely to Arabia, and by others so far east as India or even China. So it's remarkable proof there, or commentary, which is evidence for believing what we were saying. 1301 hours, I wrote, among his arguments for Joktan being a progenitor of the Chinese people, Adam Clark, who lived from 1715 to 1832, he lived, is that true? 117 years. Adam Clark. No. It's not right. 1762 to 1832. I'll have to verify that. That 1715 doesn't look right. Where did I get that from? Well, they don't have the date of his birth given there, so maybe the 1762 was wrong and maybe the 1715 is right. I don't know. But we'll have to verify that. Notes, Adam Clark notes, among his arguments for Joktan being a progenitor of the Chinese people, their numbering of days by sevens and the number system by tens. 1604 hours that same day, I wrote, the Book of Jubilees tells of Peleg having a son at the time when the Tower of Babel was being built. It was in the days of Peleg, remember? Oh, that's right. So if the Tower of Babel was... if Peleg was having a son at the time when the Tower of Babel was being built, then it wasn't built until after... sometime after the birth of Peleg, or it could have been begun right around the birth of Peleg, which is what we were saying yesterday, rather than having it being concluded around the time of the birth of Peleg. So that would be a reason for doing it that way. Anyway, we're going to be talking about many other dates. We already have, I believe, too, in the article, Wild Road Ahead to History. Wild Road Ahead to History, it was called. In that article, we talked about some of this time period of the Tower of Babel, the chronology for it, and justifying it according to ancient sources. And we had another date called 20, which was 2706, I believe, as another time period right around the time of the beginning of the rule. I believe that was for the Egyptian rule, which would make the Tower of Babel, you know, concluding sometime around there. But yesterday we said 2704 for the conclusion of the Tower of Babel, 2704 BCE. So in the Book of Jubilees, it says that Peleg's son was called by him by the name of Reu, which meant friend. R-E-U is the spelling of the name Reu. Now, at 2011, in the year 2011, March 27th, 0752 hours, Peleg is the great-grandson of King Inan from Table 2. The great-grandson, because King Inan was the father of Shelah, Shelah was the father of Heber, Heber was the father of Peleg. So King Inan, Shelah, Heber, Peleg, according to the tradition of the Greek Septuagint, the most ancient biblical tradition agreeable to the early Christian faith. This offers us, for the first time in known history, a truth explaining the origin of the name Shinar, which was called Sinar in the Irish tradition, and which is, even to our very day, which is March 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2011, as I wrote, as to the time of the writing of this, Sinar in Bulgarian, that is the name Sinar in the Irish tradition, is even to our very day at that time, in 2011, Sinar, in the Bulgarian language, if you translate that back from Bulgarian, also you get S-E-N-A-A-R, Sinar, exactly what we said it was in the Irish tradition. And that letter C in Bulgarian is the same as the first letter of Kainan's name. Kainan and China are thus seen to resemble the Bulgarian language names for Sinar and Shinar. Comparing the English letters with the Bulgarian alphabet, Sinar in Belarusian, Sinar, still looks the same as in English. It's spelled C backwards E. The Belarusian letter for N, which looks like an H and then double A, and the Belarusian letter for R, which looks like a P, which is very similar, almost identical to the Bulgarian C E N double A R, except with the only difference in any of the letters of those forms of the name Sinar in Bulgarian and Belarusian being the second letter, which is looks like a lowercase e in Bulgarian, a lowercase e, that is, in the Latin alphabet, but also it looks like a backwards epsilon or backwards e in the Belarusian, that second letter. But Sinar differs from the Bulgarian in one character, in that one character. 0846 hours, I wrote, in the Cyrillic alphabet, uppercase C is the English quote-unquote S sound. And uppercase H is equivalent to the English quote-unquote N, 0851 hours. C-E-double-N-double-A-R is the exact Russian equivalent word for sonar. In English, S-E-N-double-A-R. In fact, containing two N's, confirming Kainin. That's the astounding thing. It confirms Kainin because there's a double N in the Russian equivalent name for sonar, which is the letter C, then the lowercase e in the Latin alphabet, then double H, double A, P, which is the same as S, E, double N, double A, R in English, if it were directly transliterated. But that's got, therefore, a capital C if we take the you know, prima facie evidence. Outward appearance of it, the letter uppercase C looks like an English C. Am I running a heater? No. There's a noise from something. In one of my pieces of equipment's making a noise that it wasn't normally making. You have to be aware of that because it could be something that, you know, something might be about to catch on fire or something. If that's, you know, some kind of electrical fault or something that's making the noise. Now, the exact Russian equivalent, therefore, for the English word sonar contains double N, right? And it contains this uppercase Latin C, which in the English, upon first glance, looks like our letter C. Therefore, we have the equivalent in English confirming Kainin with the C double N being the only, in the first part of that, the only consonants. In a similar way to how the name Gomer is respelled to Somerset in the article Smith. That's another article which I also wrote, in which I talk about those names, Gomer and Somerset. We may see how a written form of Kainin becomes Shinar, at 09:33 hours. Oh, the depth of God's riches and wisdom, Romans 11:33, that he has made Christ to us in this undeserved kindness. That's the end of the paragraph. And I'm just about to sneeze. Oh, wait. I just think I need to prevent that sneeze a little bit by facilitating my breathing a little more by cleaning out my nose a bit there. That's it. Excuse me for that. What am I doing now? That's it for the, that concludes our study in about 19 minutes of today's study. From the Arc of Urartu, the Orient Express, the article from 2011, Part 2, Chapter 8, Paragraph 4. This is November 29th, 2024 of the Common Era. It's 22:39 hours, North American Eastern Time. We've got more time. So that's quite remarkable because there's so little evidence of this. And it's either the lack of evidence or the unwillingness of the people in the East or West to acknowledge this commonality in the ancestry of either group, you know, of these two groups of people one of whom we identify as the Chinese people today. So the Chinese people are connected, which is not surprising, since the Bible says that all of mankind came about as offspring of the first humans, Adam and Eve. So we expect all humans to have a common pair of ancestors, Adam and Eve. And that only makes sense because the genetic code, of course, we know the interbreeding of humans or it's not breeding, but in the same way as it is with the possibility of two humans, one male and one female, having a child together, is independent of what family or race they come from. It doesn't depend on that. So all humans, therefore, descended from a common ancestor. We know that because we look at the different... This is why the Bible says in Genesis, okay? Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 1. It says that God created the animals according to their kinds, but humankind was another kind. And what did he mean by that is very much better understood what he meant by that when we see that animals, when we understand this particular detail, this particular aspect of the creation, that animals of one kind cannot interbreed with animals of another kind. Dogs cannot interbreed with cats, and cats cannot interbreed with kangaroos, and neither can interbreed with any of the other. And they can't, it's true of all kinds, you know, bears can't interbreed with moose, and moose can't interbreed with rabbits or with elephants or with any other kind. All kinds are separate, and that's what God meant by this, is one very clear interpretation of this idea that he made the animals according to their kinds. According to their kinds, Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. And God proceeded to create the great sea monsters and every living soul that moves about which the waters swarmed forth according to their kinds. So we could look at it at that in some other translations. The Study Bible has the same wording. Byington says, all the various kinds of winged birds. Verse 21. Wait. Every winged creature according to their kind. Right? It says in Genesis 1, verse 21. Not just the great sea monsters and the sea creatures of smaller size, but also every winged flying creature according to its kind. Genesis 1:21. And Byington says the great whales and all the various kinds of gliding animals that the waters swarmed with and all the various kinds of winged birds. The King James says great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. The American Standard Version says, God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moveth, wherewith the waters swarmed, and after their kind. Or, I should say, after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. The Study Bible, and God created the great sea creatures and all living creatures that move and swarm in the waters, according to their kinds, and every winged flying creature according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Rotherham says, and God created the great sea monsters and every living soul that moveth, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And we've already read the reference version. Well, let's read it again. And God proceeded to create the great sea monsters and every living soul that moves about, which the waters swarmed forth according to their kinds, and every winged flying creature according to its kind, and God got to see that it was good. So Genesis 1:21 shows that there were kinds created. This is very accurate in the modern understanding of DNA, where there's no interbreeding or, not like there is with in the same way as, well, we're not going to even get into studying all of biology. I don't think we should try and do that today, but this idea of kinds is the idea here. And then we go on and see that in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 1, God went on to say, let the earth put forth living souls according to their kinds. The earth now, putting forth domestic animal and moving animal and wild beast of the earth according to its kind. And it came to be so. And God proceeded, verse 25, to make the wild beast of the earth according to its kind, and the domestic animal according to its kind, and every moving animal of the ground according to its kind. And God got to see that it was good. And God went on to say, let us make man in our image, verse 26, according to our likeness, and let them have in subjection the fish of the sea, and the flying creatures of the heavens, and the domestic animals, and all the earth, and every moving animal that is moving upon the earth. And God proceeded to create the man in his image. In God's image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He created the woman in God's image also. Further, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and become many and fill the earth and subdue it, and have in subjection the fish of the sea and the flying creatures of the heavens and every living creature that is moving upon the earth. So, I mean, we could study more there, but I think that's enough for today. But, I mean, that's all that we can find there about kinds. But the idea of kinds is this idea of genetic non-compatibility with regard to breeding or with regard to the multiplying. You can't multiply one kind of animal. If you only have one of one kind and one of another kind, there's no way to multiply. You have to have the same kind genetically for the genome to permit procreation. And that's what was true about the animals and humans also. All humans are of the same kind. So no matter what part of what ancestry, really is what it is, no matter what ancestry each human has the capability to create offspring with another human. No matter what ancestry they have. And that's true of the animals, that they have this ability also, because they have their individual kinds, and only within those kinds could they procreate and or breed, in the case of animals, and multiply and thus you know, fill the earth. So, but with humans, we were commanded to fill the earth as humans also. And we were to have in subjection the animals. So the animals would not be able to decide whether they were going to fill the earth or not, because they were under the subjection of humans who would make that decision on behalf of the animals. But this idea of the kinds is so important, because it shows that the Chinese people and all other nations, all of us, are descended from common ancestors. And we're all, when we study Genesis there, we see that we're all from the same parents as humans. So it would be only fitting that we would be able to trace, if we go back far enough in our ancestry, and if we know enough about our ancestors, we'd be able to find out which ancestor was the progenitor of which nation. And that's what we've been studying here with regard to China. We've traced it back to the plains of Shinar, or as it's called in the Irish tradition, Sinar. And it's a similar word in Bulgarian, Sinar, which looks a lot like the C, the first letter being a lot like the English letter C, the first letter in Bulgarian being, you know, the uppercase Latin C in the Bulgarian alphabet, which looks a lot like, and then the uppercase H being the same as the letter N in Bulgarian as translated into English. So we can see how you can get a CN from the Bulgarian word for Shinar, which is the name of Kainan. When you put another N with it, like it is in Russian, that same word with double N, we have the name Kainan. So Friday, November 29th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 22:52 hours, North American Eastern Time. Thank you so much for listening and watching again today. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. And on my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. As we conclude our study today of, once again, the article, the Ark of Urartu to the Orient Express, Chapter 8, today, paragraph 4, in this case, with the picture of the Karakesh River in the western Kunlun Mountains as a marker there for us. And so we've learned about Joktan and his sons having been originally from Shinar and having gone to China. That's it.